Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Have you noticed that male actors and female actors are filmed very differently? The independent filmmaker Nina Menkes certainly has, and she sees a very clear connection between the visual language of cinema and the negative impact that this can have on women. It can lead to employment discrimination against women and an environment of pervasive sexual harassment, abuse, and assault. This is why Nina has made the documentary Brainwashed: Sex, Camera, Power. Kate Erbland of IndieWire says that Brainwashed will forever change how you look at films. And it's hard to disagree. Nina joined us from her home in Los Angeles to tell us more about her doc.
The idea that shot design is gendered came to me from observing film after film after film, where I noticed that male actors and female actors are systematically photographed very differently. And there is almost a, what I would say, it's like a so-called law about this sexual difference in photography that is followed pretty automatically by a great majority of directors. Not everybody, I must add, but many. And many of the A-list films that we look at in the Brainwashed film, we have almost 200 clips from the Cannes winners, from the Academy Award winners, from the biggest names that we all know in film, you know, Spike Lee, Quentin Tarantino, Sofia Coppola, often do it. We don't know if it's conscious or unconscious, but it's deliberate and it's a repeated pattern. So if you see the film, you'll see this repeated pattern again and again and again and again so many times that it's kind of irrefutable, actually.
Mm-hmm. And what is, can you give us a few details about what the pattern is?
Yes. Well, I identify basically 5 points. The first one is point of view, like whose perspective is the story from? And through the history of cinema, the perspective of the person who is the subject is very, very often the male hero. And the woman is in the position of the object. There's a way that a shot is constructed that we all understand that means this person is the subject and this person is the object, right? So we look at that subject-object point of view. Then we look at framing. How are shots framed by the camera? What about camera movement? You know, an example is that women actresses often have fragmented body parts. You will not see that on a heterosexual male actor. He won't be shot like that. Or body pans up and down or horizontal body pans, that's reserved almost entirely for female actors. And then you have slow-mo. Slow-mo for male actors is action military, and slow-mo for female actors is sexualization. Then you have lighting. The way that men are lit, the way that women are lit is different. And then all of those points can be seen in a multiple of contexts. They can be seen in horror, in drama, in a film by a man, in a film by a woman. They can be seen where the woman is actually the protagonist of the story on a script level, but photographically she's objectified. So we can see it in a huge wide array of contexts. So it's sort of like this meta message that's underlying the story. It's more subtle for most people when they walk into a movie. They get involved in the story, they're watching the action, they're not paying attention to how the shots are constructed.
Mm. You see a very clear connection between the visual language of cinema and its negative impact on women, which you kind of outlined there. But can you tell us a bit more the effects that this kind of objectification of women has on them?
The thesis of the film, which is a polemic, is that this system of gendered shot design, which is pretty much irrefutable, it exists, is connected to the twin epidemics of sexual assault, sexual abuse, and employment discrimination against women. And the reason that we connect it is the concept of objectification. So when you come to sexual objectification, it's often presented as a beautiful thing. In the film, I say, you know, it's glamorized. So you sort of lose the understanding that objectification is not a beautiful thing. And objectification is tied to seeing another person as having less than full agency and is there to be acted upon, right? And so then that is a pretty easy step to understand that if a certain group of people is consistently objectified, both in their own minds and in the minds of the people who are subjects, in this case, you know, the heterosexual male population, it's not a shock that research has shown extensively and over decades, numerous studies, that watching sexually objectifying media is correlated to a higher rates of sexual harassment and even sexual assault, and that the women who self-objectify, which is a really kind of a big story these days, girls, especially teenage girls, who self-objectify, it's been correlated, and research has shown that it's correlated to higher incidences of depression, eating disorders, body dysmorphia, and a higher acceptance of sexual harassment and even assault.
One of the talking heads in your documentary is Laura Mulvey, and Laura is probably best known for coining the term the male gaze. Can you give us a breakdown of the male gaze?
Yeah, so Laura Mulvey's essay from 1975 is very much the starting off point of the documentary and the starting off point for anyone who starts learning about feminist film theory. And she was the first person who talked about the fact that women in cinema occupy a place that she called to be looked at-ness, which is a beautiful way of saying they're objectified, right?
Right.
And she called it the male gaze. What's a little different about the film than feminist film theory is feminist film theory tends to be quite involved in complicated psychoanalytic concepts and semiotics and all sorts of things that are extremely interesting and extremely relevant. But what I did in Brainwashed as a filmmaker and a cinematographer myself, and not really a theorist, is just get really, really basic and in a way simple at looking at these very, very clear markers in terms of shot design, even what I said before, like camera movement, camera placement, blocking, even audio. How are these very clear, concrete things creating the male gaze, creating this monolithic way of seeing? And women directors do it and men directors do it, just like bell hooks, the wonderful writer, said patriarchy has no gender, right? So yeah. Men can perpetuate it, women can perpetuate it. So it's really a way of seeing that most people have internalized and then reproduce.
Can you give us an example of how the male gaze is used in film and how it objectifies women?
Well, it's easier to see than to hear about it. Okay, let's take the fantastic masterpiece, and I agree it's a masterpiece, Metropolis by Fritz Lang from 1927. It's, you know, a widely considered a masterpiece. But there's a sequence in Metropolis that we use at the beginning of Brainwash, which is overt and extreme sequence of the male gaze. You see men looking, you see close up on their eyes, and then you cut to this beautiful woman sort of dancing, and then you cut back to their eyes, and then you cut back to this woman dancing, and then you cut to a super close up of their eyes, and then they're like a million eyes all over the screen. This is like sort of a prototypical male gaze moment. It doesn't mean that it's not a good film.
No.
It's actually a brilliant film, or another brilliant film that a lot of people love, including me and you, Vertigo by Hitchcock. We see the whole film from the perspective of Scotty from the male perspective. And then there's this woman who's this alluring object of desire who's always like disappearing into the distance and, you know, like looking like a mirage and all this stuff. That doesn't mean it's not a great film, but let's just be real about the fact that if all you see and all you're taught in film school is one male subject after another male subject and all these beautiful women who are like a mirage and a hallucination and a sexy object, you know, that starts to have a really serious impact.
Yeah, definitely. You also analyze a scene from Jay Roach's 2019 film Bombshell. Can you tell us about this scene?
Yeah. So you have this one scene where the whole film is a feminist story. It's about three women who went into a lawsuit against Roger Ailes at Fox News for sexual harassment, and they won the lawsuit. In theory, it's an empowering film for women. Then you look at the one scene where you actually see sexual harassment on camera, and it's shot just like all these other scenes that we've seen. It's like close up on her underwear, pan up her body, pan down her body, close up on her underwear again, pan up her body, pan down her body. It's done very beautifully. The lighting is beautiful. Margot Robbie looks beautiful. Everything about it is sort of beautiful. Her expression looks a little upset, but the point of view of that scene is classic male gaze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you go from your analysis of that scene to Twilight director Catherine Hardwicke, and she had some very interesting thoughts on this scene from Bombshell. What did she say?
She was pointing out that the scene did not have to be shot that way. We could have seen the whole scene from Margot Robbie's point of view. We could have maybe stayed on her face and just seen how she felt about it. Why did you have to have it from the, first of all, the man's point of view, and secondly, sort of beautified? I mean, Catherine Hardwicke didn't get into the beautification aspect, but the beautification aspect is really problematic in that scene as well. Like, if you imagine being sexually harassed by your boss, it's probably extremely traumatic and awful experience. But the way that they shoot it is just super glam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any hopes that your Brainwashed is going to have an impact and influence people and to follow Catherine Hardwicke's ideas of, you know, shooting scenes in different ways that don't objectify women?
I have the feeling that it's having a very big impact already.
Really?
I guess time will tell. But, I mean, the film started at Sundance. Mm-hmm. It went to the Berlinale. It went to all the major film festivals of the world. It's being released theatrically by Kino Lorber, so it's out in theaters. It will eventually be streaming widely. So, and it's also being released by Canopy, which is the educational streamer. It will go to all film schools on all universities. And we were even mentioned as a possible contender for the Oscars by Anne Thompson at IndieWire. She's a highly respected journalist. So I think that there is a sort of groundswell excitement about the film because it's something that a lot of people, and I dare I say maybe more women than men, have felt, but they might not have had a language for it. That's what I've heard from a lot of people, a lot of audiences. Someone's come up and said, like, you know, I've been going to movies my whole life and I always have this like slightly weird feeling, and I didn't really have words to talk about what that weird feeling was, and now I do.
Hmm. Yeah, well, congratulations to you on accomplishing that, because that is a big accomplishment, because I think I was in the same position. I was not conscious of the language to use to describe what was being done, and I hadn't really thought about it until I watched the documentary. So what do you hope that people who watch Brainwashed will take away from it?
I hope that it just raises consciousness. You know, I say in the film that I don't want to be the sex police. I'm not trying to tell people how to make films, and I'm also not anti-erotic. As I say in the film, you know, if you are a heterosexual male filmmaker and you want to photograph some woman's derriere, I'm not here to say don't do it. I'm just here to bring illumination to the fact that that's how it's been done over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And maybe by shedding light on this system, it will start to change. Because what I have learned in my own life is that when you bring consciousness to something, it does transform.
Hmm. That's very good. I love that quote. Nina Menkes, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on Brainwashed, Sex, Power, Camera. It's a very provocative, informative, and important documentary.
Thank you so, so much.
Nina Menkes is the director of the documentary Brainwashed, Sex, Camera, Power. Find out more about Nina and her film at wpr.org/beta. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Brian Posehn, Sean Cosby, and Nina Menkes. Beta is available to follow on Spotify or wherever you catch your favorite pods. Don't forget to offer a rating or to share with new alphas. And you can keep up with us during the week online at wpr.org/beta or on Twitter at @WPRBeta.
Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Me Productions.
Fantastic.
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
He was great. Did you see him and the wife after the show? He was in the lobby going, nobody knows me.
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
Little guy. He's the kind of guy in prison who was the squealer all the time.
And thanks to you, our alphas.
You are a Cadillac. To me, that is the top of the industry.
More Beta comes your way next week. Until then, I'm Doug Gordon.
He's sitting there like there's nothing going on. Get busy.